Hey guys, how are you going? As I said, I'm Gavin Ackley. I'm from the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre in West Melbourne, actually. And here to talk about what, you know, it's great what you're saying there, because it really leads into what I'm talking about, is how our unions can engage. I work with asylum seekers, so I'll have a little explanation about the difference between an asylum seeker and a refugee a little as we go on. But they're very similar people, they have similar backgrounds and stuff like that. So and have similar experiences in Australia around employment. So that I've always wondered how the union sees asylum seekers, because although our clients are people who are very vulnerable, and as we're talking about, are open to exploitation, immigration has long been used to undermine workers' rights and conditions. And so while we had some connections with unions, I've always been in wonder about what the feeling was in the bigger picture in the minds of the union. So we're very happy to be here today, to be invited here today to talk. The ASRC, for which I work with, is the biggest asylum seeker centre in Australia. It's a really great example of community getting together, banding together to stand up for people. What we do is we have around 23 programs. So we operate in a three-storey building in West Melbourne. We have 23 programs working. So we work from what we call a whole life or wraparound service. So it's the real a real example of holistic work. So we have everything from doctors, lawyers, nurses, psychiatrists, family counsellors, to everything you can think of in a person's life, because there are no services out there for asylum seekers. So we've created in this building. Who runs at 23 programs is around 30 paid staff and around 750 volunteers. So it's a massive volunteer workforce. The volunteers do frontline work, and the paid coordinators manage those volunteers. We have around, at the moment, 1,250 clients, and that's going quickly up. Most of our clients, which we'll talk about, are in desperate need of income, and I'll talk a bit more about that. Asylum seekers are what makes our centre, though. So we have this great community of volunteers rolling up each day to run the centre, and it's a great place to work, because you're just mixing with people who are people here for the right reasons, and aren't doing it just for the money. But the main thing that drives us is the asylum seekers. So these are people who have fled a country, have come to Australia, and now going through the refugee process to be recognised as refugees. So they're looking for protection. It takes anywhere between 3 months and 16 years. And in that time, people are either incarcerated, so they end up in our detention centres, or they're allowed to go through the application process while they're living in the community. But they're stripped off basically most everything that we take for granted while they wait. So after 16 years of living kind of a subhuman life, you actually see the process in the 6 years I've been of actually human beings being dismantled by government policy. But the great thing is, it's an honour to work with these guys because of their resilience. So, you know, every day you hear the stories of what these people have gone through, and I myself would probably think about not going on, but these guys have got the guts to, one, get out of that, make this dangerous journey to Australia, and then ante up again and start a new life. It's quite humbling to be sitting next to someone who has the strength in them to do that. The asylum seeker experience, though, so they go through all this crap and they get to the country and it's the dream place for them. They've got images of streets paved with gold, and the actual experience when they get here is nothing like that. Most of the time, most of the asylum seekers have no income, which I'll get to. So a quarter of them get an ASAS payment, which is from the Red Cross, which is about 80% of the dole. They don't get public housing, so they usually will go on rent. The other three quarters have no income at all. so they have nothing. And most of the people we work with do not have a cent to their name or any way of getting money. So they rely on centres like the ASRC for basic things of life, which is food, blankets, shelter, that kind of thing. Most of our clients, I think that's 60 or 70%, are under the definition of homeless. So the barriers that, of all the things that they don't get, is Centrelink. And because they don't get Centrelink, they don't get job services. Because it's kind of ironic that you don't give somebody a safety net, an income safety net, but then because they don't get an income safety net, you won't help them find a job. And as you're talking about, finding a job for Australians is tough enough. Finding a job when you're in a new place, English as a second language, is tough. Very tough and very confusing for most people. So now, part of the job services is what we did was we started up our own program to run that, work in finding asylum seekers jobs that were quality jobs. We're looking at sustainable employment, and you can get a lot of success if you go in this business working with unscrupulous employers. There's a lot of exploitation just ready to be happening out there. A lot of people contacting you because you've got asylum seekers and you have this workforce that is most likely going to work in the black market. But finding actually quality employers takes a bit of work, but they are out there, and the idea is to keep spreading the message. The asylum seekers are actually part of a solution in this country, not part of a problem. And we're turning that around. That's our job. So there's a lot of barriers they face in employment, and as we talked about, English is one of them, not knowing the system. A lot of people have suffered trauma. They've suffered the trauma of what they've escaped from their country, but they've also suffered the trauma of living in Australia as an asylum seeker. So that's been locked up in a detention centre for 2 years in indefinite detention. So you do a prison time, they tell you you've got 2 years in a detention centre, you don't know how long you've got, and that drives people crazy and again, breaks people. So if they do come out, or when they are looking for work, we're dealing with these things. Public transport, basic things, trying to look for a job. You don't have any money, so how do you get to your actually job interview? How do you keep turning up for, keep getting out there to look for work? So basic stuff like this. So how we work from a capacity side, so we build capacity in our clients. You can educate employers as much as you want, but the real power is in empowering the asylum seekers or the refugees to be able to stand up for their own rights. And that's part of it. The other part we are doing is going into employers and setting up quality employment arrangements with those guys. Now, as we've talked about, so unscrupulous employers, I was an electrician for about 12 years before I took on this job, and that was started in the 80s and 90s. There's something that's happened out in the workforce now where it's the black market is just huge and it's bigger than I remember it being anyway, much bigger than I remember it being when I was working. And so the common rates of pay, is $10 an hour cash for construction, around $8 for hospitality. I had a lady came in recently, been working in aged care for about 4 months. She was getting paid $80 a day, and her day was 16 hours. So this is caring for the elderly as well, so which is a double bonus in that one. As I said, through all this, asylum seekers and union are a great match because they both have significant things to offer each other. And especially for asylum seekers, if you're thinking about what union should stand for or what it does stand for, it's about safety and belonging. So people coming to Australia, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the safety of our country and they want to belong somewhere. So these kind of things actually match together, come together. That's the one side, so it should all work. You've both got the same kind of, you've got someone who can offer that and you've got someone who's looking for it. But of all my clients, I don't know one that's a union member in all the time I've worked there. I've done it 6 years and I don't know any asylum seeker that's a union member. I think the message of unions not getting across, I don't think it gets across to asylum seekers and refugees. I don't think it gets across to Australians, really. I think there's so much confusion, whatever it's the media doing, whatever, but there's a lot of confusion out there what union is standing for. And I think a new story needs to be told, and it needs to be told with asylum seekers and refugees in the community, not in the workplace. So it's pretty hard to find someone who's been exploited once they're in the workforce. It's like finding a needle in a haystack, most likely. But what you can do is get to the community and into organisations such as the ASRC, where you have people in a group together. So, the great thing about the people who are disenfranchised, and this is something, is that they generally hang together, again, for safety and belonging. So you've got actually an audience that will be in the community together. And I think, as you were saying, it's in that community that if a union can engage, that I think the message can start getting across. But union needs to stand for community, and that's what I believe it really needs to stand for. That's what it should be about. So some ideas around that would be, and you may be doing this stuff already, but offering family days and things like that in those high settlement areas, so that people can actually see this is the story of union, this is what it's about. It's about people getting together in a safe environment and belonging to something. The other stuff is, again, we'd be really interested in anyone from the union connecting with the ASRC and working with our clients and having information sessions there. A great example of what I'm talking about is actually the AFL in Melbourne, so the Australian Football League. For whatever reasons they've done it, they've actually really embraced multiculturalism and spent a lot of money in it. They do that by having, you know, football and stuff. It wasn't typically a progressive kind of movement, but it actually has. Football wasn't a typically progressive movement, but it really has become. And they've actually, you know, they want to make money. That's what they want to do. But they are engaging, and the team I unfortunately barrack for, which is the Western Bulldog, which is just rubbish, have actually. Running family days out in the west, which is a high settlement area at Footscray, and they're just great days. You know, they have world music playing. It's like, it's really confusing because this is like football, where you have the Ocker male, but then you have African communities and people from Burma, all this kind of stuff out there, really enjoying it with their family and kids. And they've worked it out, I think, the AFL, because they see that. The refugees and asylum seekers are actually are an opportunity for Australia. They're our next generation, and they're coming here whether you like it or not, and you might as well just get over that part of it. The movement of people in the world is just going to grow. So they're coming, and we should be opening our arms to them. They're our next generation, so they're the kids who are coming through now, and we can either pretend that they're not there, let them live like ghosts in the community, or we can embrace them and let them realise their potential, and that's just going to benefit all of us. The benefits for union are really clear in engaging with asylum seekers and refugees. Ill-informed, underpaid workers is only going to put downward pressure on wages. So if we don't engage with asylum seekers, if they're not engaging in my program, they're working in the black market. They're working in the black market. They're working for $10 an hour or $5 an hour, whatever they're working for. The competition then to try and find a minimum, a legal paid job in construction just gets tougher and tougher because people are just using this labour. So we're really asking for union to support us in federally funded employment services for asylum seekers. And that's the reason behind it, is it's best interest of everybody that these guys get informed and then they get out there and get a proper job. The other thing is that you think about who these people are. They're people who stood up for their rights generally, and they're people who got burnt for that. They were people who stood up and spoke out against things in the face of terrible consequences. Now, it's, you know, when they spoke up about bad things happening to them, it was more than just losing your job. It can be losing your family. Okay. Now, what kind of thing, as I'm saying to union, is These are the kind of guys you want as your future leaders. They've already kind of proven themselves, so they know how to do it tough. And I think if we can see the opportunity in this, and not that this is a problem to be solved, but actually these guys are a solution, we go a long way. So thanks very much.